Okay, good morning, gentlemen. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil, and we have a very special connection to Parashat Vayelech, one of the most important classes that we're going to give on this subject. We're discussing the subject of Ratzon. In Parashat Vayelech, in the beginning of the Parasha, Pasuk Yod, it says, Vayitzav Moshe Otam Lemor. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the Jewish people the following. He tells them, Miketz Sheva Shanim, after 7 years, Bemo'ed Shenat HaShemita BeHag HaSukot. Which means, towards the end, of the Shenat HaShemitah, which means 7 years passed, now you have Sukkot. But she says, Adayin Shevi'it Noheged Ba, even though it's already a new year, but still some Shevi'it laws apply to it. Bottom line, after 7 years, on the holiday of Sukkot, there is a special mitzvah. This is the time when, anyway, the Jewish people are gathered in Yerushalayim. It's a holiday of Sukkot. Tikra et haTorah hazot. As Moshe tells Yehoshua ben Nun, on the holiday of Sukkot, after Shemitah, in Yerushalayim, I want you to read the Torah. I want you to teach them, get up and teach them Torah. Neged kol Yisrael be'oznehem. You're going to be standing opposite all of the Jewish people. Make sure you teach them the Torah, a special gathering where Yehoshua ben Nun is going to get up and teach Am Yisrael. It will be a mitzvah for generations. The king will get up and teach the Jewish people on this holiday of Sukkot after the 7th year of Shemitah. Who needs to be present in this gathering where the leader of the Jewish people is getting up to give this special shi'ur of Torah? So it says, Hakel et ha'am. You need to gather the nation. Who's included in the nation? Ha'anashim. Gather the men. They all have to be there. Ve'hanashim. Gather all the women. They got to be present. It's a big shiur going on. Just imagine the scene. Or millions of people.
In microphone.
And no microphone. I'm sure they had some sort of... So over here, there's a very famous Gemara in Masechet Hagigah. The Gemara says like this. So we have a very, very important shiur that happens once every 7 years. Says the Gemara, Im anashim ba'im l'mon. Says the Gemara, Im anashim ba'im, if the men show up, what are they coming for? L'mon. To learn Torah. But they need to come. Nashim, what are they coming for? Ba'ot l'shma. They're coming to listen. While they may not be obligated in limud Torah, but they also have to hear Musar and hear important laws of the Torah. So it's relevant. Says the Gemara, Taf, but these little infants, Lama Ba'im, why are they coming? For what reason are you wheeling the 6-month-old to show up here in the mitzvah of Hakel? What is he doing there? The Gemara says, interesting answer. The Gemara says, Latet sechar lemebiehel. To give reward to those who bring them. That means we want to give reward to their parents. So by bringing them to this great gathering, the parents get reward. So that's why they bring them. Which makes very little sense, because the question assumes, that they have no purpose in being there. So if they have no purpose in being there, why is there a reward? A reward is for something that you do that is meaningful. And the Gemara already said there is no value in having their presence there. So what does the Gemara answer when it says, no, you know why we bring them? To give reward to their parents. Reward for what? To be rewarded for an act that is meaningless is way beyond our expectation. Is way below the expectations of the Creator. That someone should be rewarded for doing something that is meaningless. What does that mean? So what was the question? What was the answer? The question basically says, their presence is meaningless. So why are you bringing them? Says the Gemara, no, we want to give reward to their parents. But reward for what? If they're meaningless. So if there's a reward, that means it's something meaningful. But you just said they have no purpose there. So, it's a very well-known Gemara. It's a well-known question also. I want to share with you the words of the Sfat Emet. Very, very powerful words of the Sfat Emet on this Gemara. Says the Sfat Emet, you should know a principle in the study of Torah, which we've discussed before here on different levels. That when it comes to the study of Torah, it really doesn't make sense that anyone is able to understand the Torah. The Torah is God's wisdom. It's the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God are way bigger than what a human can hold. So, for anyone to come and learn Torah and understand God's Torah, that's not normal. That's a gift that God gives the person. Some people have a stronger capacity in their mind to learn. Even for them, it's a gift. All the more so people who don't have such a great head. They weren't created with such a great brain. For them also, all the more so it's a gift that God gives them, that they're able to learn and understand the Torah. It's been noted that some of the greatest gedolim in the Jewish people's history were specifically not the biggest geniuses. They were people who struggled very much to be able to reach the wisdom of Torah, and they became geniuses in Torah, even though they're not a genius. I myself was eyewitness to a young man who, according to his teachers and according to his principles, he was in need of a special type of school because of his low IQ. The claim was he really couldn't make it in a normal classroom. And therefore, it was suggested he should go to a special type of school. For some reason, he was accepted into a mainstream yeshiva. And in fact, as the principals and teachers said, it almost felt like there were stones in his brain. Wasn't much there. He goes to a science class, just doesn't understand what's going on.
Mathematics,
worse. Whatever they said about him, spot on. But this young man developed a certain heshek, a love for Torah. And he worked very hard to learn Torah.
Gemara, Rashi, Tosafot.
By the time he graduated, he was the top in his grade in learning Gemara. If you want to sit with somebody in the grade, he was number one in his ability to understand, to comprehend, to put things together. I was eyewitness to this, my own eyes. It's hard to believe. Here's the kid that the principals said he can't even function in a regular school. And they were right. But somehow, he became a Gaon in Torah. I can't explain it to you. And if you want to ask me what it is, after, I'll tell you privately. So you don't think I'm kidding. Unbelievable.
So the whole idea of a human understanding the Torah is a miracle, whether he's a genius or whether he is from the lowest IQ. It's a gift that God gives a person. So therefore, the Gemara asks question when it says, oh, the men are learning, the women are understanding, and the little babies, what are they for? What do you mean, why are they there for? What? Who draws the line where Torah is able to affect a person and land in his mind? If Torah was able to teach a person who belonged in a special school and be able to make him a gadol in Torah, who says that a baby, an infant, is going to go there and not gain from it? Anyway, the whole thing is supernatural. So therefore, what's the Gemara's question? Taf lama ba'i, why are they coming? They're no different than all of us. It's God's Torah. So if they're there, they could benefit just as much. Again, if learning Torah was this natural nature where a person is able to understand math or science, then you could ask, what's the kid doing there? But anyway, the learning of Torah is beyond that. So what was the Gemara asking? Why are they coming? They're coming to learn. They're coming for the Torah to make a mark on them. We see, by the way, great mothers in history would bring their little children in the crib to sit in the Beit Midrash. What are they doing in the Beit Midrash, these little children? They're learning. But how are they learning? It doesn't work like that. That's not how Torah works. The power of Torah, the same way you could reach
the biggest genius, even that's a miracle, so too the youngest.
So what was the Gemara asking? Why are you bringing them? Why not to bring them? Says this Sfat Emet, it's true that the Torah being able to reach a human mind, that is a miracle. And again, I want to say again, it's obvious that it's a miracle because God's brain is way bigger than our brain. I think that's obvious. Anyone thinks otherwise, if anyone says, oh, I don't understand, why can't I understand God? Why can't you understand God? Could you fit this building in a tissue box? Do you understand that? Take this building and say, I want to put it in a tissue box. Oh, it doesn't go. Someone said, I don't understand. Why doesn't it go? What don't you understand? The building is way bigger than a tissue box. God's brain is obviously much bigger than ours. How are you supposed to fit his brain into our brain? So the whole thing is a miracle.
It says it's Sfat Emet, there's one condition. One condition.
You need a start from the person here on the bottom. It's true, he's going to give you a gift of giving you his wisdom. You'll get them. But you need to have ratzon. You have to want it. Which means you're not just going to sit there and download God's wisdom. You can't just sit in a chair and God will give you everything that he knows. It doesn't work like that. You need to have ratzon. You need to want it. Obviously, the ratzon is shown by your effort. You're spending time. You're putting effort. You're sweating. Oh, you have a ratzon. You started from here, from the bottom. Hashem will complete you from the top. That's a condition. So yes, learning God's Torah is a ness, it's a miracle. But you need to start from you. That's the condition, God says. Yagata umatzata. You toil. Hashem says, I'll make sure you get it. Beautiful. So the Gemara's question is, a man can have ratzon, and therefore God can give him the Torah. A woman can have the ratzon to learn, and therefore God can give her the Torah. But taf, the little children, lama ba'i, what are they coming for? We don't doubt that the Torah can reach their brain. That's not the question. We don't doubt that the light of Torah can have an effect on them, on their level, at their age. But now, that's not the question. But the question is, for that to happen, there has to be a ratzon. And they're not capable of having ratzon. A little infant doesn't have the ability to want to learn Torah. So then you're wasting your time. That's the Gemara's question. Says this Sfat Emet. So what's the answer? Says this Sfat Emet, the most powerful answer. And this is something to keep close to our hearts because we can all benefit tremendously from it. Says the Sfat Emet, the Gemara is mehadesh. In the answer, there's a very big hidush to take it for you, with you, through life. The Gemara says, latet zachar lemevi'ehen, to give reward to those who bring them. Says the Sfat Emet, what the Gemara means is that since their parents have the ratzon for them to learn, so the ratzon of the parents can have an effect on them even though they don't have their own ratzon. One more time. You have a little baby. He cannot supply his own ratzon, his own desire for Torah. He's not capable. in this case because of his age. If his father and mother have a ratzon for him to learn, that ratzon is able to work for the person even though he himself doesn't have his own ratzon. And through their ratzon, the Torah is able to reach that baby. That's what it means. Latet sachar. You're right. They, the child himself, can't do it. But maybe the ones who bring them, they could do it for him. And he explains that's the meaning of the Mishnah Perkei Avot. We've discussed this Mishnah before, but he gives a novel explanation to this Mishnah. He says, the Mishnah says, Sechar mitzvah, mitzvah. Sechar is the reward of the mitzvah is a mitzvah. He says, what does that mean? He says, Sechar mitzvah is, what does it mean? The Sechar of the mitzvah is the mitzvah. He says, Sechar mitzvah means the reward of wanting a mitzvah. Sechar mitzvah, the reward when you want to do a mitzvah. Mitzvah. You'll have the ability to do the mitzvah. When you want a mitzvah, the reward is Hashem will make it available to you. Sechar mitzvah, mitzvah. He says that's what the Gemara means. Latet sachar lemivier. To give the reward of the ratzon to those who bring them. Now, my dear friends, this is a very, very powerful hidush in life that can be utilized. Says the Sfat Emet, it's not only for fathers and children. It's not only for mothers and their children. It can work for any person who cares about somebody. That means if you care about somebody and you have a sincere desire for them to upgrade their life, it's possible that your ratzon will have an effect on their ability to grow in life. Of course, they still have free choice. We're not taking away their free choice. But you can affect them in a way where they can make a good decision. You're teaching students. If you have a ratzon for them to become something, they will be able to reach the benefits of that ratzon as if they had it themselves. A baby is not capable because of his age, but some people are not capable because of they're lost. They're sunk in tum'an. Their ignorance, because they haven't learned much in their life, doesn't allow them to have ratzon. But if someone cares about them and wants them to benefit from the kedusha of the Torah, they can supply the ratzon on their behalf. Now this is going to help us answer a very important question. We've been talking about ratzon and the value and the power of ratzon for the last few weeks. When we listen to such a powerful item in life, one may walk out and say, listen, what can I do? A person asks himself, how can I teach my children how to develop a ratzon? Of course, a ratzon for important things, but a ratzon nonetheless. And how do I supply my students with ratzon? Because in truth, the greatest gift you can give your children in life, the greatest gift is ratzon. More than knowledge of Torah, for example, more than knowing Torah, to give them the ratzon to want to know Torah. That's even greater than the knowledge. The ratzon for things that are important is the greatest product you can develop in your home. If you have a young man or a young lady that has the ratzon to be responsible, the ratzon to grow, the ratzon to become a kind person, the ratzon to help people, the ratzon to be hardworking, the ratzon, all the things, all the values that we have in life, the greatest thing you could do for your son or daughter is to have a ratzon for them. Because once they have the ratzon, they have their own generator. They don't need you anymore. If you're constantly feeding them information, so they're working off your generator, the greatest thing you could do for them is to have their own engine. That is the greatest success of a child or a student. That my son has ratzon. He has intense desire to do A, B, C. Again, two different issues. One is to know what's valuable in life. And B, to have a ratzon for them. There are many people who know what's valuable, but they just don't have the engine to make it happen. They don't have the will. They don't have the strength. They don't have that deep ratzon that's needed to succeed in life. So the values you got to teach them, that's obvious. That's easy. Teaching children, teaching students the values is not so hard, end of the day. It's a question of knowing how to get messages across to them. But how do you give them ratzon? Ratzon is not a class. You know, came walk into class, say, gentlemen, I just want to tell you, ratzon is very important. So, okay, great. Ratzon is not information. Ratzon is an engine. So how do you teach a person ratzon? How do you do it? That's a big question. Again, the greatest gift you can give your son or daughter, the great number one, there's nothing like it. You give them the values and then you give them the ratzon energy. You hand them over an engine that they can make out of all the great values, tremendous hatzlacha, tremendous success. They'll be the most responsible, the most hardworking, the most respectful, the most wise, the most kind, the most everything. Where do you find this engine and how do you give it to your children? How do you give it to your students? That should be the biggest question in the subject of ratzon after we think of ourselves. How do we affect the people that we care about, that they should have a ratzon? They should be able to wake up in the morning with energy. They should be able to do everything with a full energetic engine. How do you do it? This mitzvah of Hakel helps us understand the Eshet Hayil Pasuk better. Because it says, Daresha Semer Ufishtim, she goes out to find the materials to make clothing. Vata'as Behefetz Kaper. When she makes the clothing, she makes it with ratzon. Why does the Eshet Hayil make it with ratzon? Well, one of the great secrets of the Eshet Hayil, she knows the following principle. That if my children see me do what I do with ratzon, that builds their ratzon. It doesn't matter if I'm sewing a dress. That's not the, doesn't matter what you're doing. Vatas, whatever you do, if you do it with Ratzon, you're infusing Ratzon into your children, into your students. So now, whatever they're going to do, they're going to take that same energy and they're going to apply it in their world. A mother doesn't realize that when she's sitting home and cooking, there are two types of cooking. There's cooking to make food for the children, and then there's cooking to give them ratzon. When they see their mother in the kitchen cooking with ratzon, looks a whole different mother. The food may come out the same, but the kid comes out totally different. When he sees that his mother wakes up in the morning to wake him up with ratzon. When a mother wakes up her children in the morning and she's half sleeping, uninterested to do her job, the ma says, it's her job. Who can blame them for being tired? Who can blame them for not really wanting to do it? So they do it, but they're not in it. But if you wake up your children with ratzon, if you give them their breakfast with ratzon, ratzon means that you do your job with the full energy and simha of the moment. Such an example is not just someone to look and emulate. It actually provides ratzon for the child. There is no other way to give them ratzon. Because you can't teach it to them. It's not that kind of item. It's not information they have to. It's energy they need to pick up. You provide them the energies. And that is the secret of this great woman. Vata'as, whatever she does it behevet. She sets the Shabbat table, she's setting it with energy. She's serving food, she's doing it with energy. It doesn't matter what she's doing, it's not important. More important than what she's doing is how she's doing it. Because in that she's putting in her children a tremendous ratzon engine that when they're going to do what they're going to need to do in life, now they're powerful. Because they have that ratzon. Who gave them that ratzon? Their mother. Their father. She's in the kitchen giving them ratzon. They're in the Bet Midrash with ratzon. It's the same ratzon. They're out there working hard. What? Because their mother. Father, mother. Rabbi, teacher. Unbelievable. This is a tremendous piece of advice for every single caring person who cares about their children. When you're doing things that you need to do, remember, greater than your action is the ratzon that you have while you're doing it. That's greater than anything you're doing for them. The food that you serve them is temporary. But the ratzon you give them is eternal. So amazing. You do all that you do. You provide all that you provide. And then the item that is most needed, you forget about. Again, who can blame a father and mother for being tired, for being whatever they are? It's hard work. But if we would realize the value of the ratzon, it would be a no-brainer. We walk into the house with ratzon. We walk out of the house to go somewhere with ratzon. We sit down for Shabbat dinner, kiddush, with ratzon. Whatever meaningful things that we're doing in life. Add the ratzon, and all of a sudden, you're affecting the people that are around you. Where we do not mean that the kid sees his father doing A, so he wants to do A. It's not what we're talking about. That's something else. It's also grave. We're talking about that whatever actions you do with the energy of Ratzon, the Ratzon itself, forget what the father's doing. The Ratzon itself makes a huge mark on the kid. So when the kid's doing B, he's not even doing A. The father never opened a book in his life. But the father, whatever he does it with Ratzon. So when the kid now goes to learn, he'll take the Ratzon of the father and apply it to his item. We're talking about picking up the Ratzon itself, not emulating the father's actions. It's picking up the energy. Think about, you know, we're talking about how Ratzon itself moves from a father to a child. Again, forget the actions. Think about some of the greatest moments in Jewish history that have produced our people. We are today a product of that act. And you'll see something amazing. When we open up the story of kindness, the source of kindness of the Jewish people, we are a nation of Hesed, a nation of kindness. It's well known throughout history till today. We have the genes of Hesed, of kindness. Where did it come from? Torah tells us the famous story of Avraham Avinu, the tremendous Ratzon that he had, that he was 100 years old. He was just out of surgery, hot day, but he had such an intense desire to help people. And therefore God sent him angels. Now that story is the seed of the Jewish people's journey through kindness in history. That's what Torah wrote. That's why Torah wrote it. But in that story, there was actually no kindness, because they were angels. All the food he prepared, the Gemara, the Midrash says, they take the food and they burnt it in their mouth. They eat the food, the angels, they don't eat. So all the work that he did in that story actually was not what we would call kindness, because it didn't help anybody. So then what is it that we receive from him? What did we get from that story? We got his Ratzon. More than the kindness that he gave us the Ratzon to have kindness. The Akedah. Akedah, we know the Akedah is the centerpiece. It's the foundation of the Jewish people's connection to God. On Rosh Hashanah, we come to Hashem to ask him for something. Please, remember the Akedah. Remember, a man sacrificing his son. But in reality, as we all know, he didn't sacrifice him. He didn't kill him. He didn't do anything. What kind of zechut is that? What's the merit? He didn't kill his son. Again, the Ratzon, but he wanted to kill his son. The Ratzon, he wanted to kill his son. That was given to us. Avraham Avinu gave us Ratzon more than he gave us a model of an act. We got Ratzon from this man. The Ratzon to do kindness. The Ratzon to listen to God even in difficult situations. That's what we got. And that's the greatest gift you can give your children and your students. Give them the Ratzon to do. More than the act. The Ratzon to do it. And the way you give it over is by being that shining example. But ta'as behefetz kapeha. When you do anything that you do that's meaningful with Ratzon, it's only a matter of time when they get to get the energy of that same engine. That's why they brought, says the Sfat Emet. That's why they had, that's why they brought the Taf. They brought the Taf. He can't learn because he has no Ratzon. Oh, but wait. He has a father, he has a mother. And if they have the Ratzon for him to learn, that Ratzon is able to somehow reach him. And therefore, he will be able to benefit through their Ratzon.
Aruch Amai Le'olam, Amir Amir.